For obvious reason, many people want to have their wedding ceremony in summer. Why? The flowers are blooming, it's warm outside, it's a great time to take memorable wedding pictures. They take pictures by the lake, they've got unforgettable memories. Christians or non-religious people get married to enjoy each other and have lifetime companionship. But some couples don't want to raise children. Why do they get married but do not desire to raise children? Was their childhood not very pleasant experience? Or do they simply avoid the responsibility of parenthood? Trivia question. What is the first command of the Lord to humanity? What is the first command of the Lord to humanity? Together, let's reflect what it narrated about mankind in Genesis chapter 1, verse 27 to 28. God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it, rule over the fish, the sea, the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Now, that's the first command. What's the first hobby? Fishing. Just kidding. Roll over the fish. Think about it. If married couples plan not to have children, do you consider that as violation of the first command of God to humanity? Did God cause them to avoid parental responsibility? How about couples who desire to have children but cannot have children? Did God prevent them from having children? It says in Psalm 127, verse 3, "Children are a gift from God, from the Lord. They are a reward from Him." How do you interpret that? Personally, if you were given a gift, how do you cherish a gift on your birthdays, anniversaries, or Christmas? You receive a gift. How do you cherish a gift? If the gift comes from someone you respect, you cherish it, keep it maybe. How do you value a reward? If you feel glorious about it, you display your reward on pedestal, maybe. So, if children are a gift from God, if children are a reward from Him, should parents not cherish the gift of God? Should parents not value rewards from the Lord? Well, not everyone could readily accept that, because such spiritual reality can only be discerned and accepted through the Holy Spirit. It is by faith in God that we can accept that human life is a gift from God. Our life is a gift from God. If human life comes from God, it is also proper to rely upon the Lord so that we live as humans, we live our human life in its fullness. Let's read again verse 1 and 2. "Brothers and sisters, I could not address you as people who live by the Spirit, but as people who live by the I could not address you as people, but people who are still worldly, mere infants in Christ. I give you milk, not solid food, for you were not yet ready for it. Indeed, you are still not ready. How do you interpret that? Do you interpret that the letter of Paul to the Corinthians is milk, spiritual milk? It's not solid food yet. Milk is very basic food for infants. It has enough nutrients for infants to grow faster. And you observe those children who grew in this land where there's abundance of milk. They are taller, higher, bigger than their parents who grow up back in the Philippines. I think milk is really helpful. Experience proved that it is not a pleasant situation. If you swallow solid food that's not chewed, if you didn't grind with your teeth, you do not like to swallow solid food. Have you watched that hot dog buns contest where they would just swallow the whole buns of without chewing that much? I don't understand, but I experienced that. I was forced to eat a platter of rice and viand in there that high in just 2 minutes, consume that in 2 minutes without chewing it. You swallow with water. We did that in the academy. Consume a lot of rice and viand. You could choke yourself. Likewise, infants have no teeth. They have no teeth to chew. They have no teeth to grind solid food. So it's not advisable to give solid food to infants. And Apostle Paul considered the Corinthian Christians as mere infants in their faith in Christ because their behavior, their lifestyle were still worldly. So when a Christian says, I'm a Christian, but their behavior is worldly, maybe he, she is a Christian, but still infant in their faith. To behave according to the teaching of Christ, we have to set aside worldly behavior. We have to desire setting aside, disregarding, ignoring worldly behavior. We have to be firm in that. That is, if you want to grow mature spiritually, that exhibits spiritual growth. Together, let's reflect meditatively in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. Crave for spiritual milk. Crave to be holy. Crave to live according to the will of God. We crave for that. We grow mature. Instinctively, newborn babies, they crave for milk. And infants, they desire that embrace of mothers also. Infants can be hungry almost every 2 hours. Every 2 hours. All day long, all night long. Imagine, every 2 hours, mothers would wake up every 2 hours. That's not very desirable. Try to wake up every 2 hours. Put your alarm every 2 hours if you haven't experienced yet, if you are not experienced the life of motherhood. Every 2 hours, wake up in the night. You wake up in the morning, you're sluggish. You are tired. But mothers wake up every 2 hours just to feed their babies. That is not a very pleasant situation. That is not. They lack good night sleep. But for lack of good night's sleep, mothers, they sacrifice their health of for lack of sleep because of their love. They love their children. Remember that, children. You did not know. May God bless mothers for their sacrifice. Amen. May God bless mothers for their sacrifice. Amen. May God bless mothers for their sacrifice. Amen. Why do mothers sacrifice so much to care for infants? Surely, infants won't understand yet. They don't know, they don't remember. They cannot appreciate yet the sacrifice of their mothers. The times when infants have no idea what's happening around, it's the time when mothers show their love and care to their infants. Even when infants are still in the womb, mothers lovingly care for their children. That is an illustration of God's love for us. God showed his love for us even before we were yet to be born. How? Together, let's reflect on what it says in Romans 5, verse 8. God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. God provided solution for the forgiveness of sins even before we commit sin. Even before we were born, Christ died for us before we came into this world. We believe, accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and we were born again spiritually. And God sent His Holy Spirit into us to assure us that we were born again in Christ. If you believe, if you have accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you've been born again spiritually. Are you born again in Christ? Practically, how do you know? How do you know that you are born again in Christ? Infants, they crave for milk. Likewise, spiritually, infants, born again believers, we crave for spiritual milk. Do you crave for spiritual milk? Personally, how do you interpret Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 to 16? Let's read. Continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Do everything without grumbling and arguing, so that you may become blameless and pure, children of God, without fault in a warped and crooked generation. Then you will shine among them like stars in the sky as you hold firmly to the word of life. The word of life, the scripture, spiritual milk. It nourishes our salvation, our spiritual life. The Holy Spirit causes us to crave. He enables us to follow the word of life, the Lord, so that we may live a pure and blameless life. Thankfulness prevails in us if we work out our salvation. As we work out our salvation, we are grateful with fear and trembling. How? We want to promote harmony, not quarrel. We want to promote unity, not argument. Naturally, humans desire worldly attraction. That's our human desire. That's our human instinct. We are attracted to worldly things in disregard of godly behavior. Let's read again verse 3 of our passage. You're still worldly, for since there's jealousy and quarreling among you, are you not worldly? Are you not acting like mere humans? Human beings, we choose worldly behavior. That's natural. That's instinctive. That's our tendency. Jealousy, quarrels, these are worldly behaviors. When spiritual things are desired, spiritual things are prioritized, it practically proves the presence of the Holy Spirit of Christ. We do not try to push ourselves. We pray and ask the Holy Spirit in us. Why? For us to be assured that the Holy Spirit of Christ is working in us. But if we are the ones trying to push ourselves, you sense that pressure in you. Well, that is a good start, but it would be best if we trust and rely upon the Lord for our holiness, godliness. Yet there are church attendees who quarrel, and the church is eventually, subsequently divided. Why is that? Is it because we are still worldly? Or is it because human desires prevail in us instead of godly desires? How do you interpret and explain to ordinary believer what Psalm 37 verse 4 says? Take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Many people have this as their life verse, but perhaps they do not truly understand what it means. Take delight in the Lord. Take delight. To take delight is the most pragmatically evidence, proof of our faith in the Lord. It is exhibited when we obey him with fear and trembling. We are afraid to offend the Lord. It's like when your boss is speaking, you sense that shaking deep in you, and you do not like to offend the boss, or else the boss will demote you or something like that. You want to be promoted instead. More than that, we should have that fear and trembling in obeying the Lord. The Lord gives the desire in our hearts to obey him. He gives the Lord. Practically, what desire of heart that God gives? What is this desire of heart that God gives when we delight in obeying him? What is it? Is it worldly or is it godly? Now, this is something that should remind those who take this passage as their life verse, because many times the delight that they are thinking, that desire that they are thinking, is the worldly things, the desire that God would give. And they complain, I've been obeying you, Lord. I've been faithful to you, Lord. Why do you not give that desire in my heart? I have that desire. No, that is not the case. The desire comes from the Lord. It's not the desire that you are feeling or thinking or imagining. That is not. The desire comes from the Lord. The desire comes from the Lord. It is for our betterment to experience the fullness of life. That is the desire that comes from the Lord. That is the desire that the Lord gives in our heart. Not the desire that was instinctive, not the desire that is natural, not the desire, the inclination of the heart. That is not what the Lord gives, because it is already there in the heart. Why should he give that when it is already in your heart, right? The desire that God gives is not yet in your heart. That's why he gives that desire. If it is already in your heart, why would he give that? Okay, Lorenzo, this is the desire. Ah, that is the desire. You are thinking that the desire in your heart will come through. That is what you are thinking. But not giving that, but that the Lord would give. It's not. Friends, it's not. It's godly. In comparison, our human sinful nature, desire, we are enticed by worldly attractions. Anything that we are attracted in this world that is worldly, that is not godly, that is what we desire. But that is not the desire that the Lord gives. These days you may have received scam emails saying, you are randomly chosen to win $1 million lottery. Something like that. It is too good to be true. So what do? You block it. Block for in the future. To block in the future. So you move that scam email into the spam folder or section in your email. But for the sake of illustration, imagine someone generously give you $1 million without any string attached. I read through the news, the richest person in the world give something like $300 million to a person, something like that. But for example, you are the one who benefited in that without any string attached. It says, this is for you. Use it whatever, however you use it. How do you spend such huge amount of gift? How do you spend $1 million free? It's instinctive tendency. I would buy my dream house. I would buy my dream car. I would spend in leisure, in pleasure. I would gratify myself. I would buy anything I like. That is the natural tendency. But let's personally reflect what it says in James 1, verse 17. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly light. Every good gift. How do you interpret this spiritual truth? Does it imply practical gifts, worldly gifts, gifts that you are attracted to? What are perfect gifts you wish to get, to receive from the Lord? As practical proof of delight in the Lord, we obey Him. That is how we delight in the Lord. We obey the Lord. He grants us good and perfect gift. Can you believe it? Good and perfect gift. It's good for us. It's good for our spiritual life. And perhaps, not perhaps, it is also for our this human life. World life on earth, or physical life, if you would. God has given us many good things. How could we show appreciation to His gift for us? Pertaining to His return, this is what Christ said or teach about His return in a parable he revealed in Luke chapter 19, verse 12 to 15. Let's read. A man of noble birth went to a distant country to have himself appointed king and then to return. So he called 10 of his servants and gave them 10 minas. Put his money to work, he said, until I come back. But his subjects hated him and sent a delegation after him to say, we don't want this man to be our king. He was made king, however, and returned home. Then he sent for the servants to whom he had given money in order to find out what they had gained with it. Now, this parable, it teaches what Christ will do when he returns. If you want to know about what the king did to the to those subjects who did not want him to be king, read through this passage and learn more about. But let's talk about what happened to the servants. It is human instinct to oppose the lordship of Christ over humanity. That's human instinct. They do not want to become servants of the King of Kings. That's human instinct. Christ is our creator, but not everyone acknowledges such spiritual truth because spiritual realities can only be discerned, can only be understood with the help, through the help of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit speaks to the believers and say, Jesus Christ is our creator. It's written in the Bible. We believe what the Bible says because the Holy Spirit inspires us. Christ mentioned that the noble who became king, he gave money to his servants, not to all his subjects, only to his servants. And then he required accounting to what he gave to his servants. Do you consider yourself a servant of God? Am I a servant of God? If you say yes, you've been given spiritual gifts. The King of Kings has given you spiritual gifts. He has given us spiritual gifts. What are these spiritual gifts? Preaching, serving, teaching, encouraging, leading, showing mercy, and many more. Those are spiritual gifts given to believers. Not everyone is given all those things. At least one spiritual gift is given to you. If it is serving, serve. If it is leading, lead diligently. If it is giving, give generously. If it is show mercy, show hospitality. If it is teaching, then teach. Why does God give spiritual gifts? So that we delight in the Lord. The more we utilize our spiritual gift, the more we delight and learn more about the Lord and experience more of His grace. When we actively use our spiritual gifts, we delight with fullness in life. Do you sense like something is missing in your life? You have every material things you experience. You have house, you have car, you have fine clothes, you have fine food, you go wherever you want, you visit anything you want, but still something is missing. And you want to travel more because you are still looking for something missing. And you travel all around the world. One person said, I have traveled 120 countries in the world. And documented it on social media, but still there's something missing. Why? Because we only have fullness in life when we use our spiritual gifts. Pray, Lord, reveal to me my spiritual gift, and that you will realize, yes, this is the missing link. In contrast, when the human instinct prevails in us, there's frustration, there's disappointment, there's this thing that is, we feel like there's something missing. That's the human instinct gives to us. Let's read again verse 4 of our passage. When one says, I follow Paul, in another, I follow Apollos. Are you not mere human beings? Now, Apostle Paul rebuked the Corinthian Christians that they were still mere infants in the faith in Christ because they were divided, apparently. They cannot agree with each other. They don't have harmony. Some of them preferred to follow Paul. Others preferred to follow Apollos. Paul and his mission team, they started the church in Corinth. And Paul, in this mission team, went to the next mission point. They left Corinth, and Apollos served as the regular preacher in Corinth. And according to the many scholars, as they interpret the Bible, Apollos was a very eloquent speaker. He is very good in using the word, and you would like to listen attentively to him. Probably those who preferred to follow Apollos were the original members of the church, while those who preferred to follow Apollos, they did not know personally Apostle Paul. And they only joined the church when Apollos served as the regular preacher. So there's this quarrel and division on who they prefer as their leader. That is following this leader or that leader, that is generational problem in the church from the first century of Christianity until now. The first church in Corinth, they have division. In this 2023 year, there's still church split happening around the world. Human desire is always in conflict with godly behavior. We have to be filled with the Holy Spirit always. We do not understand everything, but to be filled with the Holy Spirit, we sense that we do not worry about anything. As long as the Holy Spirit is the one working, maybe at the eyes of other people, it's not very good. But when we are relying upon the Holy Spirit, all things work for the good of those who love the Lord according to his purpose. The Bible says, we are instructed in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 to 20. Let's read this together. Be careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the Lord's will is. Do not get drunk with wine, on wine, which leads to debauchery. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord, always giving thanks to God, the Father, for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Giving thanks to God the Father for everything. For everything. Even when it seems like it's not very good, to give thanks to Father. Lord, I am not very grateful in this, but thank you anyway. Can you say that? Well, this situation I have, Lord, is not very pleasant, but thank you. I know something good is going to happen. I don't know yet, but I trust. That is trust, trusting the Lord. To give thanks even when it's not very pleasant is faith in the Lord. Faith that we trust that the Lord has good thing prepared ahead. It's like if you're a gardener, you cultivate the plant, you prune the plant, remove some branches. The plant says, it hurts, don't cut my branch. Did you hear it when you cut? And the wind blows, last week the wind blows strong, and flowers fall down, fruits fall down. The plant says, oh, my flower. Oh, the plant says, oh, my fruit, what happened? That is how we do. We complain when the flowers of our life have been removed. But the Lord allows that. It's for our good. We prune the branches of the tree for good, for their good, for its good. We cultivate, disturb the ground. It's not only about watering, it's not only about fertilizing. We give thanks to God for everything. If you cannot ask the Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit. To be filled with the Holy Spirit is godly command. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and there will be joy. There will be peace, even when it is unpleasant. Does it mean that if we are not filled with the Holy Spirit, we violate the command to be filled with the Holy Spirit? Be filled with the Holy Spirit. Always, we violate, right? So, it is wise to be filled with the Holy Spirit, even when we don't understand everything. Lord, fill me with the Holy Spirit, please. The result of being filled with the Holy Spirit, there's this grateful rejoicing, there's peace, even singing from the heart in everything. When you sing, the song we sing a while back, songs prepared. If you want to listen again, I suppose Kuya Max had posted it on the website later. You can click there and listen again. If you sense that there's kind of like deep gratitude and you feel like you want to cry because you sense the meaning of that song, that's the Holy Spirit working in you. There's rejoicing, singing from the heart. It's not about having that very beautiful voice. I used to say, my voice must have been very good. My children would sleep when I sing. Maybe it's a melody to their ear. That was my fantasy. But I learned before that they just don't want to listen to my voice. That's why they would rather go to sleep. I can laugh to myself. But still, I would like to sing. Not because I would like others to appreciate how I sing, but I would like to praise God with singing. Life on earth, this is infected with many difficult struggles. But can we still sing? We can still give thanks, make music to the Lord when we are filled with the Holy Spirit. You feel like if there's that heavy burden in your heart, you do not like to cry. You would rather want to sing, but you cannot sing because it's so heavy. Ask the Lord, fill me, Lord, with your Holy Spirit. Fill me. Until you sense that singing, grateful singing. Keep praying. There's enthusiasm as compared to frustration, despair, desperation, depression, disappointment. There's enthusiasm singing thanks to the Lord. That is our testimony. But giving testimony these days is not very easy for many because there are a lot of aggressive groups who would just try to put you down when you talk about the Lord Jesus. But there's this one graduating student named Lydia. Talk about her faith and personal relationship with Jesus Christ at her high school graduation. Of course, if you read this in the other website, you would read contradictory posing conversation. As high school student, she said she lost her mother and her outlook in life completely changed after that. She said, when tragedy struck my life, the only person I could depend on to stay the same was Jesus Christ. You don't have to worry about whether or not you will be successful, because God promises that His grace is sufficient for us, and His power is made perfect in our weaknesses. She testified. everyone faced difficulties in life. The rich, the poor, the young, the old, the ruler, the ordinary citizen, everyone has difficulty in life. The prime minister has personal problem. You don't like his problem. Maybe you like to become prime minister. Someone wrote in the social media, "Don't laugh at others or you will have their life." You see? And somebody said, "Ha ha ha, Zuckerberg. Jeff Bezos. They laugh at Bill Gates. They laugh at Jeff Bezos." Because they are thinking, they love that life of Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates to become rich. But they don't know the problem of Jeff Bezos and Zuckerberg. Having divorced, or Zuckerberg, you don't like. I don't know what you like for him, about him. Maybe they like the money, but not the problem. But the warning is, do not laugh at the person, not about the money. Everyone will face difficulties. But God allows difficulties for us to assess our outlook in life. God, in his loving ways, he allows trials to help us evaluate trials, our spiritual growth. The heavier the trial would be, the higher we grow spiritually. They are balanced. If the trial you like only just little trials, your spiritual growth will just not that mature. The more we grow mature spiritually, the tougher the testing could be. It is very true. So the more you think you have grown mature, expect you would have difficult trials. But that is when you grow stronger in your faith in the Lord. Lord, you allow this trial? Then help me grow strong in my faith in you. I know it's you who allow it, and I know you would help me overcome it. That is faith. Just as infants needs milk to grow, we need spiritual milk to grow spiritually mature. Regularly read the Word of God to nourish your spiritual life. Regularly read it. Be wise. Always seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit. If you can remember, every now and then, when you are silent, when you are not busy, or even when you are busy, ask the Lord, "Lord, fill me with your Holy Spirit." When you are driving, ask the Lord. Driving is really tough. It's not always fun, especially when somebody cut you in front, when you're rushing to work, and you almost hit another car. You don't like that situation. So it's really good to pray, "Fill me with your Holy Spirit." Because when the Holy Spirit comes, he leads us into all truth. That is what Christ declares in John chapter 16, verse 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Read again, John 16, 13. "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth." Whatever it consists, truth, it would be pleasant. Do you have difficult problem? You are not alone. Everyone has difficulties in life. The difficulty of a child how they can get what they want, but they cannot get because they have no money and they are not allowed to go alone and buy what they want. That's their problem. Young people, they have problem with peers, maybe studies, they have problems. Married people, they have problem with children, a problem with mortgage. Older people, what's their problem? Health, deteriorating health. They have all time, they have money, they don't have strength. They want to travel, they want to visit beautiful places, but they go just sleeping. They cannot watch the beauty of nature because they are so tired. Pray for stronger faith. Every one of us, let's ask for godly wisdom. Seriously seek to be filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ until you sense that peace that surpasses understanding. Enthusiasm, there's this excitement in you doing things you are doing, boring things. If you are doing many things, it's boring. It's boring to study. It's boring to go to work. It's boring every day. You need the Holy Spirit. It's boring to do similar work from morning to afternoon. You need the Holy Spirit. It will change into enthusiasm. You would sense it in your heart and mind when you are filled with the Holy Spirit of Christ. Keep praying. Let's stand up as we give honor to God.